Hi, welcome to the session. My name is Brenda Carter, and I'm a writer on the SharePoint team, and this is Faizan.
Hi, everyone. Faizan Khan. I'm with Microsoft Consulting.
So we're going to be talking to you today about optimizing SharePoint 2013 for WAN environments. So Faizan has a lot of great field experience, and I've been writing about this topic for a few versions now. So we partnered together and shepherded a handful of customers through our pre-release program. And we learned quite a few things, which we'll tell you today. Here's our topic list. And I kind of want to use this list to get a feel for our audience today. So I'm going to ask you a few questions. How many of you are planning to do some WAN testing in your environments?
Most.
That's good. That's really good. John is ready for you with some great information there. So we're going to be talking about three different types of architecture. So I'm going to ask you, how many of you currently today have in 2010 deployed a central environment to serve your users across the globe, or you're anticipating doing that for 2013? How many of you want to move to a centralized environment and you don't currently have? Okay, so a lot of people are wanting to do the central, and we've got some good news for you there. How many of you currently have in 2010 today two or three farms deployed across the globe? A good number. Or you anticipate you might need to for 2013. Okay. And then finally, how many currently have or you anticipate you might need to deploy four or more farms, like a half a dozen or even 10 farms? Okay. So that gives us a good feel for our audience today. So just so we're on the same page, when we talk about a central site, we're talking about the location that hosts the majority of the company data and employee computers. And when we say regional, we're talking about those locations that host a subset of that stuff.
Right. And when you think of central sites, think of it as the hub to many regional site spokes, or the hub that might be in many territories around the globe. So if you have a single site or three sites across the globe, those might still be considered central sites. And when we talk about WAN performance, there are a number of considerations we need to think about, including things like bandwidth and latency for WAN links, which are the most commonly thought about. But you also need to think about congestion on your WAN links, as well as the availability of your WAN links, because we found with some of our clients as we were working with them that that actually drove some of the needs for regional farms. And the good news is there's been a lot of improvement in SharePoint 2013 to optimize for WAN performance. So this is optimization for your end users that are accessing your SharePoint 2013 farm over a WAN link. Those improvements include better use of your available bandwidth, so we actually pump the pipe full. We optimize the use of client ports, so we utilize more ports and we utilize them more efficiently when we communicate between an end user and SharePoint. We've also implemented what's called the minimal download strategy, or MDS. And just from a very high level, the minimal download strategy is essentially pushing just the deltas of page changes as users browse from page to page. So that reduces quite a bit of your WAN network traffic and increases your users' performance. Image compression and IIS compression, while they were there before, are enhanced in this version. We also have mobile views. And the reason we listed mobile views here is mobile views are often thought of as views for cell phones, for example. But for those users that have really not very high-performing WAN environments or WAN links, mobile views might be played there as well. And then finally, Office web apps for a light first-time-to-the-first-page experience for end users. In addition to the engineering improvements for WAN performance, there's a number of user experience improvements. Like the content that the user cares about comes first to the user. So even though there's a lot of page loading in the background, what the user sees and what they care about comes first, so there's that impression that the page is loading much faster. There's smoother page transitions with animations and a richer user interface. To quantify some of these engineering improvements, there's been a number of WAN testing that's been done on Microsoft's side. I'm just going to highlight one of those tests. And in this, to set it up, we did two tests. One was with 125 milliseconds of latency over a 1 megabit per second link. The other one was with 300 milliseconds, same sort of bandwidth on the link. The page load times at that 125 milliseconds of latency, which is latency typically across the continental US or between closer continents. For the first page loads were around 3 to 4 seconds. Second page loads were much quicker. And then page load times and 300 millisecond latency were about 2 to 3 times slower because of latency. So to show that in a graphical format, the chart you're seeing here at the top is a SharePoint 2010 visual round trip analyzer capture, and it's based on Netmon capture from the client side. On the bottom is a SharePoint 2013 capture of the same sort of activity. And this activity was the download of a large file over those links. What you'll notice is that the time to content ready is much quicker for SharePoint 2013, right? So this is part of the engineering improvement for better utilization of your WAN links. In addition, ports are utilized much more efficiently. So ports are reused more efficiently and more ports are utilized. And you can just tell graphically that we're packing a lot more into that pipe, which is also depicted here. So your bandwidth is utilized more efficiently. And the bottom line is that all ends up resulting in a much better and more performant end user experience. So from a mathematical model perspective, we wanted to show you this slide just to depict the relationship between bandwidth and latency. And just to start the thought process when you look at your own WAN links, to understand when latency impacts end users and when it doesn't. And this is a scenario where we're downloading a 1.5 meg file over various bandwidths and latencies. And the figures in red are when latency starts to impact your performance. So to highlight this, we'll look at the extremes. We have a lot of bandwidth. Latency starts impacting performance very quickly, right? So as soon as you start introducing latency, you start impacting some performance. On the other side, when we don't have a lot of bandwidth, latency really doesn't impact performance as much because performance is not that great from the beginning. But most typically, your WAN links are going to be between 3 and 10 megabits per second. And latency starts impacting performance at around that 100 to 200 millisecond range. And it's that point where SharePoint 2013 has been enhanced to mitigate a lot of that. So when it comes to WAN testing, and when you start making those determinations about having a central farm versus distributed farms, the first thing to do is to really understand your WAN environment, right? So utilize tools to get a deeper insight into your environment. Tools like network monitor. Cisco has some tools that show you network health. But you want to understand what your latency is, your congestion, your bandwidth, et cetera. You also want to understand what kind of devices your end users are using to access SharePoint, because different devices are going to have a different characteristic when communicating with a SharePoint server. And then finally, you want to understand what type of browsers your end users are going to use. When you do your WAN testing, use scriptable tools. And the reason why you want to use scriptable tools is so you can do the same sort of test and make it consistent through each test iteration. So some of the tools you could use include Visual Studio 2012. I showed a graph of VRTA, the Visual Round Trip Analyzer, which is a free tool. And there's definitely third-party tools that can help in this area. And what I'm going to talk about or show in a demo, the next demo, is slightly different from load testing, even though the tools are somewhat similar. Load testing has...
Really appreciate that.
So, Faison, these customers are really wanting this information. It's like the last session of the day. It's a late session.
And we're between you and the party, so... Oh, yeah. We'll talk fast. So I was just going to close off. Load testing is slightly different. Load testing uses things like a larger set of test user accounts, more test data, usually a much larger environment than what I'm going to actually demo. But I'm using some of the same tools. So everyone's aware of the network issues. And so instead of doing a live demo, I took a bunch of screenshots. So what I'm going to demo is doing just a simple unit test with, actually it's a load test, but it's a very simple load test with Visual Studio 2012. And the goal here is going back to that scripted or prescriptive tool that can give you a consistent test result every time. And to do it, you start Visual Studio, you start a new project, select under the test category, web performance and load test project. Once you do that, what you'll see here is the ability to add a recording And you can click that to start and launch IE. And what this essentially does an IE recording session for your whatever test you want to do. And in this example, I'm doing a simple test of uploading a document to a document library. I just go through that. I upload the document. These are the steps. Select the doc. Right, just kind of standard SharePoint stuff. You'll notice on the right, on the left side here, it's recording every single activity that I was doing as part of this test, for later duplicating that activity as part of this load test. As part of Visual Studio, it detects some dynamic parameters. There's a CTP preview of a Visual Studio pack that has a tool that helps with handling dynamic parameters for a larger load test. For this particular test, you don't really need to use that. Once it finishes detecting parameters, you can run your test to get an all green. And once you're done with that, you have a web test. After you have a web test, you have to put that web test in a load test. And you do that by right-clicking your project, clicking Add, and clicking Load Test. And that launches the load test wizard. So you click Next, you name your test, you pick a think time profile. For this, it really doesn't matter as much because we're concerned more about WAN performance for end users versus stressing your system. You pick a load pattern, and here I chose to ramp up user count, step it up every 10 seconds, et cetera. It's pretty self-explanatory. You pick a test mix for the type of test you want to do, and here I just left at default because I'm only using one test. You add your test to your selected test. So the thing to point out here is you could have multiple web tests that are unit tests of different activities. We've got some charts that one of our TAP customers provided the data for. That has many tests, and you could do that all in a single load test. Here's just the one. We can pick a network mix, so it will mimic different sorts of network conditions, it being Visual Studio 2012. You can pick a browser mix, so mimicking different browsers, and the different sorts of counters you want to collect. The default is fine for this case. And here you select the test iterations, and you run your test. Once your load test is set up, you'll come to your load tests tab. And from here, you can launch your test. Once you launch your tests, it'll start doing that unit test activity against your SharePoint environment and start collecting performance statistics, which you can analyze later. This is a load test summary and an example of some of the charts and graphs that you can access as part of your test. And finally, you can also export your data to an Excel spreadsheet. It does this through Visual Studio 2012. So you can analyze your load tests in that tool if needed. So let me just go back to the slide deck. So this is an example of a test result for one of our TAP customers. And what they were testing here was the performance over a high latency WAN connection. Latency was about 190 milliseconds. The test was a 1 megabit file for upload and download for that particular unit test. But you'll see on the bottom that there were a number of different web tests conducted. Things like collaboration download, OWA rendering, adding social tags, liking a post, et cetera, and the various performance characteristics of each one of those tests. And over that 190 millisecond connection, what you'll notice is the performance is really good, especially on the social stack and those activities. So these are from China to Texas, or Shanghai to Texas. To go further into it, the customer also tested across many different global points to go against that same data center in Texas. Similar sort of setup for the unit tests. And again, the thing to point out here is even though we have varying degrees of latency, we still have really good performance for those end users across the globe, right? So when you're thinking about your drivers for going away from a single SharePoint farm model, we definitely want to make sure you're testing your WAN out to see if that's really necessary due to just network characteristics alone.
So this is a simple unit test, and this is a really easy test to perform. This is two sets of results. Tech Resources is one of our TAP customers, and we worked with Mahmoud Jaffer, who's over here. He works for Soft Landings, and it's a company I can definitely recommend working for because we've had a great experience working with Mahmoud. Anyway, we did a link call with him last week, and he ran a few tests for us. So Tech Resources has two central farms, one in Santiago, Chile, and one in Calgary. And Mahmoud connected to the Santiago farm and uploaded files to both 2010 and 2013. And you can see the results for a one megabyte file and a 10 megabyte file. So the performance is looking really good in 2010 compared to 2013. Our second set of results is my Microsoft team. So I have a couple of teammates who are located in Beijing, China. And they conducted the same test, and they did it multiple times throughout their workday. And it was the same file, same size of files, same file types. And as you can see, we have a range of results. I would expect if Mahmoud had conducted his test multiple times, he'd have a range as well. But we learned some interesting things from these results. One thing I want to point out with our Beijing results is the range for the larger file type. For 2010, it's a lot larger range. For 2013, the range is smaller, so it's a more predictable experience. So I think the most important thing we learned from comparing these two set of results is that the network environment characteristics can affect the performance a lot more than just the latency. Some feedback that we got from our performance team is that they would not be surprised if when you're uploading a file and you're comparing 2010 to 2013, if it's a little bit slower in 2013, and this is because the new shredded storage feature. It's a little bit of a tax when a file goes into the database. But as you can see from these results, it looks like the performance in the WAN experience is offsetting that performance hit there. So simple unit testing can provide meaningful results. I've worked on projects where we've done a lot of WAN simulation and produced a lot of results. Well, this was really easy to do, and it's way more meaningful because it's on the actual network connections. And then finally, if you do this yourself, and I would encourage you to do this, the one caveat thing I learned is that you need to use a different file with different content to upload. So for every upload, you want a different file. It's not enough just to change the file name. You actually need to have different content in it. Otherwise, if there is a WAN optimization device, such as the Riverbed device in the case of Tech Resources, that second upload is going to be a lot faster. So Faison and I looked at these results for Tech Resources, and we also passed them by our performance team, and they thought they looked pretty fast considering the connection. So we think that they're benefiting from that Riverbed device even on the first upload. So I just want to ask, do we have anybody in the audience who is representing on the floor a WAN device, a WAN optimization? Any Riverbed people or? Riverbed. Okay, nice. Thanks. So now we're going to start into our architectural guidance. And the first thing we're going to talk about is the central site. Again, what we're talking about is one environment. It could be a number of farms in a one location or just one farm. But your user base across the world is connecting to that one farm. This is what we're recommending as the first and best option, and we'd like to see most of our customers in this architecture.
And for this architecture, you really want to take a look again at your bandwidth and latency combinations. Evaluate those for page load times, your file download and upload performance, and other scenarios that might be specific and important to your organization prior to going to just a centralized environment. You want to optimize web pages if you do customizations around web pages for faster performance. If you do opt for that central site, use the minimal download strategy option. Put your pictures together, compress your pictures, make them smaller if you have graphics on your pages. There's a lot of guidance around that on MSDN and TechNet on optimization. Then there's some Windows Server features that can help outside of WAN acceleration devices and network devices. Things like branch cache, for example, which was a Windows Server stack feature that allows for caching of content local to your client. In addition, the implementation of quality of service may be something to consider if you have congestion on your network links and you want to optimize your business critical SharePoint traffic related to other traffic. And the last statement there is something we're hearing a lot about lately, which is it's often easier to optimize your network versus putting in multiple SharePoint farms geographically. A comment on using that versus the Office upload? Yes, thank you. The question was, do I have any comments on the utilization of branch cache versus the Office upload center? No, I'm not too familiar with that. All right, Brenda, do you have any?
I don't.
Nope, okay.
It's a good follow-up question.
Yeah. I wanted to highlight WAN accelerators because a lot of our clients actually have WAN accelerator devices implemented within their network. And they can be great, but it's something to consider, especially because there's a lot of optimization that's happening in SharePoint, and there's a lot of compression that's happening. The goal is consider it, test your scenarios, make sure you're avoiding over-optimization and conflict between WAN acceleration devices, caching, and what's happening within SharePoint. Just something to keep in mind.
Tools that can help out with a central farm or even if you're distributed. So if you're thinking, I wonder if I could do a central farm or do I feel like I might need to go to multiple farms, try out the client tools. They can help you make the most of a central farm. The two I want to highlight are Office Web Apps and SkyDrive Pro. For obvious reasons, Office Web Apps is a great tool to use over the WAN. You're not downloading and uploading whole files. Even editing in the browser over a WAN connection, you can get really good performance. SkyDrive Pro is a new feature. I just want to clarify, so when we talk about SkyDrive Pro, we're talking about the feature in SharePoint. The files are synced with your SharePoint library. To differentiate SkyDrive in general is the Microsoft Cloud Storage. So when we talk about SkyDrive Pro, the content is still in the SharePoint library. You still govern it. How many of you use SharePoint Workspace? I'm curious. So we've got a handful of you. I just want to let you know you can still use SharePoint Workspace 2010 with SharePoint 2013. It looks like there's a hot fix you'll need to look for if you want to. One of our customers is testing with that today. If you don't currently use this tool, I would encourage you to try out these other tools first. And so for SkyDrive Pro, this is, I know there's other sessions on this, just real quickly, it's a feature, the top right of your screen, you click sync, you get a wizard, it prompts you to specify a location. In Windows Explorer, this is what it looks like. It's super easy to use. This is United Airlines route map, and I love this picture because at the end of each one of these routes are United Airlines employees connecting to SharePoint, doing the tasks that they need to do. And United Airlines is feeling really good about deploying their farm in a central location. You might be able to guess where that is based on the map, but they're feeling good about this. In fact, this is their model for 2010 as well.
And in order to support that central location, United Airlines overcame some WAN challenges by implementing some optimization. So a couple of different categories here. They're challenged with high utilization, low bandwidth connections at their international kiosks, for example. They optimize their WAN by using QoS, compression, in Internet Explorer. But other options they might have considered was the implementation of WAN acceleration. For performance at their kiosks, they use QoS and browser compression, as well as local caching, but they might have also considered using MDS, or that minimal download strategy for custom pages, as well as NIC optimization on the actual client machine. For their intranet SharePoint performance, they use compression, file compression, blob caching, output caching, all the caching capabilities within SharePoint, but they might have also considered branch cache. And that final category, where the challenge was SQL performance optimization, they implemented memory tuning. They reorganize indexes, rebalance virtual log files, reduce the number of databases. There's also some prescriptive guidance around SQL for SharePoint 2010. It was from 2010 and 2013, which is do not enable auto-create statistics and set your max degrees of parallelism to 1, your MDOP settings.
That's a really good reminder just to pay attention to the health of the whole farm and not just the WAN connections that you can. And the other thing I want to point out about this slide is United is a really sophisticated team, and they do things for very specific reasons. So the other options are, like, if you have a scenario similar to this, these are some other things that you can consider.
So the other models to consider, going away from that centralized, simple SharePoint environment, is to have a central site with multiple farms. And often, in fact, I got the question today, where many customers have two data centers that are very well connected, and the desire is to have active SharePoint farms, or a single SharePoint farm that's split across the two data centers. So we went into that pretty deeply as part of the TAP process. And the result from the product group was that that is no longer supported. So stretch farms is what it was commonly called, is not supported. What's supported is having your SharePoint farm in a single data center with very high bandwidth between your servers and very low latency. There's some other things to consider also when you do go away from that single server, single SharePoint farm model, is that the user profile service has to reside in the same data center as your content farm that it supports. Your social feature stack is going to work best with a single MySite farm, which is the case for most clients. But when you get into much larger organizations, they're kind of driven to split those up because of performance, backup, other drivers. Multiple MySite farms will require multiple user profile service applications. So a UPA to a MySite is the relationship. And like I said, stretch farms are not supported. Now, the reason why is the social stack has changed in 2013, and there's a much higher reliance on the MySite's content databases as well as TeamSite content databases. And there's a lot of traffic that goes there, so to avoid things like orphaned objects, database corruption, et cetera, those things need to be close together.
So here's an architecture example of what Faison just described. This is our customer, hereto known as Fabricam. It's a real customer. They're really large. They're a manufacturing organization with a worldwide set of users. We're talking about 300,000 users and a ton of content. So this is a little bit of a simplification of their environment. But the key points here, so in data center one, that's where they're doing all their collab work. They've got one MySite farm to serve that really large user base. And they've got an enterprise services farm, and the user profile service is deployed there. It's in the same data center as the collab farm, so that's going to work real well. This is showing three content farms. They have way more than that. The other point here is they do have a large search environment, and they're choosing to put their search farm in a different data center. It's governed by a different team. They have a search organization. So this is actually a good architecture for scaling out.
So going back to that topic of the stretch farm and what we need to do when we go into a 2013 environment to support what was typically the reason for a stretch farm, which is that high availability and failover capabilities. So there are a number of options with SharePoint from a SQL database perspective, including the example here, which is log shipping between farms across the WAN. So this example is United Airlines example, where they're log shipping from one farm to another. And they've tiered their services, or they've tiered their SharePoint databases so that some databases have a high or medium SLA and are log shipped, while others, from a content database perspective, have a lower SLA, and so they're backup restored. That's the model they're using. Their ability to fail over is to be able to fail over within 15 minutes using scripts to automate that process. So log shipping is a very common way to do it. There's database mirroring aspects, and I know there's additional guidance being worked on for other options with the introduction of SQL 2012.
So now we're going to talk about 2 to 3 environment solutions. So this is if you think you might need to deploy more than one farm globally. So this is kind of what it looks like. One central farm, we're saying up to 2 additional other farms, and then synchronizing profile data using the user profile replication engine.
So when you think about 2 to 3 farm solutions, one of the drivers is to have content close to your users, your regional users. And that's usually driven by disconnected or not reliable network links, just extremely high latency. So the use cases are going to be very they're not going to be very common for this scenario. But when you think about it, it's going to be content or farms that host things like collaboration sites, maybe my sites for those local users, and local search for that farm that's regional. But on the downside, it does increase complexity, right? So every new SharePoint farm introduces a new administration point. It introduces new services that need to be managed across the farms. You have to implement user profile replication engine to light up some functionality around the social stack and profile data being replicated across the farms. And you'll need to set up trust relationships between your farms to light up character capabilities such as remote index search, for example. And that final bullet, some social capabilities are not supported across environments with multiple My Sites farms. So most of that is going to be activity feed sorts of content that's not supported today.
Yeah. So here's an architecture example, and this comes from our geo model on our, we've got a technical diagrams page on TechNet, and this is one of them. The gist here is we've got a central farm with a superset of services and then a couple regional farms and a subset of services, and the key here is that user profile services at each one of these farms. Some good services to share are the managed metadata and machine translation, and Faison's going to give you more information about those.
Yep. And like it was depicted in the diagram, there are some services you can share across WAN links and others that you can't, and then there's some that you can but maybe shouldn't. So just to go through this pretty quick, because it's a little bit of eye chart. Search, you can definitely share that across the WAN. There's some options around that that are new to 2013. The next slide, I'll dive into it a little bit deeper. Managed metadata can be shared across the WAN. Business data connectivity can be shared across the WAN. However, you want to consider where your BDC service is compared to your back-end data sources compared to your end user. So that's going to require a little bit more thought about how you share that across the WAN. The user profile service is not supported across the WAN. In fact, it needs to be in that local data center with its content that it's supporting. The secure store service can be consumed across the WAN. However, this one will likely introduce higher latencies when it is consumed across WAN, so it's more recommended to have it in your local regional farms. And the machine translation service can be. So going to search a little bit more, there's a new capability in SharePoint 2013 search where you can get remote result sources from disparate farms. So the use case there is I have a centralized farm and I've got a regional farm. I can do a query from this farm and then send that query to my regional farm and get a result set back to my central farm in a result block. We've got a screenshot a little bit later on that depicts that. Slightly different model from what we had before, which is we would have to crawl over the WAN. And it's different from federated result sets because the result sets come in a block within your main result set. But there are considerations between the two options, the option of crawling over the WAN or configuring a remote result set. So if you crawl over the WAN, you have a single index. Everything's relevancy ranked as you expect it to be. However, you are utilizing WAN bandwidth when you crawl over the WAN for those regional farms. For your remote result source option, you're not crawling over the WAN, so you're saving WAN bandwidth. However, your relevancy ranking for that regional content is different. The entire result block that comes back is ranked as a single set, and it's a limited set of results that do come back. That's a configurable thing. So the question is, how is that different from a pure federated search? The result set actually comes in with your main result block. So the set itself is ranked as a block, but within the main result set. While a federated search is typically off to the side, you know, you've got a page, you do a federated search to MSDN, for example, completely different result set, completely different relevancy. And you get more flexibility and configuration about how that relevancy works with the remote result source. It's a good question. I kind of talked about the user experience, single result set versus a single result set with blocks of results in them. The advantages, you're not crawling over the WAN with a remote result set versus having a single index by crawling over the WAN. And that kind of matches the disadvantages as well. So a lot of things to think about on search. This is an example of what that result set might look like. So that block that's kind of highlighted, bracketed off, are results from O365. Right? And so those are ranked as a set. They're within your main results set, but there is a slight differentiator there from an out-of-the-box feature set. And we mentioned the implementation of the user profile replication engine, or UPRE. So that replicates profile information between farms, between user profile service applications. And it's a single direction sort of replication setup. If you need to do bi-directional, it'll be two single direction UPRE setups. And what's depicted here is a three-farm environment where we have six separate user profile replication engine connections set up. I alluded to some of the properties that are needed to support features within SharePoint when we have multiple farms, and the user profile replication engine helps to support that. So one of those is the need to rehydrate a user's token. And that comes into play when we think about search. If we do a remote result set and I send a query from my main farm to my regional farm, that query needs to be security trimmed appropriately. And that happens by sending certain characteristics, the four that are listed here, the Windows SID, your domain services, UPN, SMTP, and SIP address. That's sent along with the query so that the user's token can get rehydrated here on the regional farm, and security results can be security trimmed and sent back. So that's why this is needed, as well as other social features that are lit up when you implement user profile replication engine.
So now we're going to talk about the third architecture, which is the most complex for our customers that need to deploy many distributed farms. So we have quite a few customers I've worked with over the years, our mining customers, our shipping customers, oil and gas, feel like they need farms out at these remote locations. So here's kind of a representation of what that might look like. An architecture example. This comes from our geo model. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. The interesting thing here is that for this example, we're using Foundation at those sites, and that's definitely an option to consider. It could reduce the complexity if you want to be able to provide a place for teams to collaborate. That's an option. I want to show you a planning process. So if you feel like you need to deploy multiple farms, this is a planning process that I mocked up while working with tech resources. This is a Visio file, so this is not a slide deck. Each of these pages I show you is in Visio. So for tech resources, they have two central farms, one in Santiago and one in Calgary, and they've got a handful of regional farms, and they're a mining company. They've got a lot of IP at these local sites. And the reason they've got the distributed farms is because the latency connections are not good enough. The users will not actually spend the time to upload stuff to a site where it takes too long. So it's important enough for them to get their IP off of file shares and into SharePoint that they're deploying distributed farms. So here's their 2010 environment. For 2013, the proposal is to bring more sites online with SharePoint and also to deploy records management and BI. So this is what the landscape looks like. So we asked Mahmood to do some WAN testing. Now this is totally a mock-up, but this is a Visio file. And the idea here is to kind of chart your central farm and then plot based on the results. It could be latency or it could be the time to do some important tasks to plot them, and then adjust this line based on your organization's tolerance for WAN performance, adjust it up or down, and then determine which sites you feel like you can have used a central farm versus which sites you actually feel like you need to deploy distributed farms at. So ideally, in tech resources case, we could bring some of those sites into the central farm, but it turns out that that's not the case. We might get one or two in based on the results of their testing. They haven't finished the testing, but they really do need to deploy quite a few regional farms. And so this is kind of what it's going to look like for them. A lot of the connections, or at least some of them, are satellite links, and they're not well connected. So it starts to look pretty complex here. You see the regional, or the two central farms, and then at each of the regional farms, I'm going to put the user profile service, and then they want my sites for their users there. So the kind of the first step in making this work is to use UPRE between the two central farms. And the next step then is to sync the central farm with the regional farm. So each regional farm is just syncing with one central farm. Yes, so the question is about syncing user profiles versus My Sites. We're not synchronizing My Sites. They stay at the distributed regional environments.
Well, actually, we'll, out of the box functionality, if it wasn't configured, that's correct. So the question was, if a user that might have a My Site in Beijing goes and browses a Turkey SharePoint farm and clicks their My Site, will they be creating a My Site in Turkey as well? Right. So we would we typically handle that using the trusted My Site's host location, where it doesn't matter where a user goes, as long as they're in the right audience and they have trusted My Site's host location set up properly, a user can go to any SharePoint farm, and when they click My Site, they'll go back to their trusted My Site.
Where the experience will be really speedy for them.
Right.
So I just want to clarify, this looks like a lot of UPRE, and it's different than the scenario Faison just went over where you saw a triangle. There's no attempt with all these regional farms to synchronize them together. They're just synchronizing with one of the central farms. So the search configuration, I know this looks kind of busy, but the idea here is that each of these regional sites, they've got a lot of data in file shares, and it's going to take them some time to get that into SharePoint, and there may be pieces that don't ever make it into SharePoint that they choose to keep on file shares. So it's real important for each of these regional sites, we'll have search to crawl those file shares. And so here's kind of another view. The enterprise search is going to be provided at either of the central farms, and using a combination of federated search and remote result sources, they will be able to pull search results from each of these farms. So federated search, they're choosing to use that in the environments where they may be satellite links, but the key is they may be disconnected at times. So federated search, they've got a web part, it shows the results in a separate area. For them, it makes sense because that when they run the query, they want to know if the line is down and they're not getting results. They don't want to assume they're getting all the results for the whole organization. So I talked to Brad Stevenson earlier today. He does a lot of search presentations, and he's done the hybrid, and I asked, could you do something similar to that with remote result sources? And he thinks that you could. So that's going to be a point of investigation for tech resources. Managed metadata looks really good. It's one of those that are real WAN friendly, and we're just going to share it out to all the farms and use content type syndication. It's going to be a great story for them to really get a handle and manage all that content. Yes. Yes, they're deploying it at only one of the centrals and then sharing that out to all the rest. Sure. And you know, we are so close to being done. Let me finish, and then let's use the mic, and then we can all benefit from the questions. So just to wrap up, this is kind of a mock-up of the services configuration for a distributed environment where the superset of services are, and then which ones get shared and which ones are deployed. So this last category is just kind of a stamp of, you know, all the regional farms are going to probably look identical with this set of services. So this is a Visio file. If you think this would be valuable for your planning process, come leave me your business card. I can clean it up, take out the tech resources data, and send you something similar. So all the UPRE, this is just one point I want to make. I did send this design to our UPRE and UPA teams in Redmond, and they talked about it in a team meeting, and they said, it looks fine. Definitely UPRE can do this. Just a few caveats, and those seem like obvious things. Essentially, if you change a piece of data in two different locations, you can't be guaranteed which piece of data is going to be replicated. And then if you change user account names or delete accounts, there might be a little bit of cleanup work. So there, we have some great articles for more information, some great technical diagrams on our technical diagrams page. I'm going to leave this slide up while we do Q&A so you can read this if you want. The only other thing I want to highlight here is a new app we have. It's our Windows 8 app for our posters. Look for it at the store. It's called Server Posterpedia, and we've got 10 of our most hot 2013 posters in there, and some Windows and Link and Exchange stuff too.
Cool stuff. So I guess we'll open up for Q&A?
Yeah. Please use the mics, and then we'll all hear the questions.
Right, and please do fill out the evaluations.
Yes.
Definitely need your feedback. And thanks again for sticking it out through the alarms. It was exciting stuff.
Yes.
Thanks. Lou, I don't know if the mic's
testing.
All right.
There we go. Quick question, and it might be a little bit out of place, but I'll ask it anyways. Office 365, how would that kind of fit in with maybe some of the strategies that you're outlining?
So from I guess it depends on the customer situation. I mean, you can do, like we showed, there's been some sessions on hybrid Office 365, and I think the search session around that.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the conversations we've had with one of our clients was using maybe Office 365 for extranet access for the end users.
Yeah, that's a great scenario.
Versus an intranet that has some of these network constraints for their internal users. But Office 365, I think there's a lot of flexibility around where you would use that.
Mm. And it kind of depends on how well connected your users are. So, for example, with tech resources, those sites are really so disconnected, they do need some additional farms out there.
Yeah, like our experience, well, basically we're global, so it's basically 150 countries, and bandwidth is like very similar to that kind of situation with like a lot of countries using satellite connections, so it's just really across the board.
Right. Yeah, I mean, even those countries going over bad WAN links are going to have some issues even connecting to Office 365.
All of the IIS caching for static and dynamic compression, and then even like caching in the under the layouts folder, all that is set by SharePoint. You don't have to go in and manually set or configure any of the static or dynamic compression.
That's my understanding in SharePoint 2013.
Okay.
We've had IIS compression and caching before.
It's all enabled out of the box, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, so even kind of related to that, I guess like the output caching and object caching, one of those is configured.
Object caching is on by default. Output cache, this is more for when you have kind of internet publishing scenarios.
Right.
And pages don't change. And that one you would also need to configure in SharePoint.
That's what the super read and super user.
So Kafir is from our test team working on performance, and I'm sure he'd be happy to answer questions too.
Right.
I'm good.
Any other questions? We'll be here for a few minutes if you want to kind of come up too.
I'm sorry, I have one more. I noticed all of the countries on your geo slides, those were countries that America typically does business with, but I didn't see any that are boycotted from America. If we're a global company and we do business in other countries with countries that actually boycott the U.S., how would you manage the metadata attributes or the synchronizations on those farms when America or American resources aren't allowed to have access to that content? Do you understand the question?
I think I do, yeah.
It's an on-premise data requirement?
Yes. Yes, they have a need for a separate farm because no U.S. Citizens can have access to it, to the content or even the administrative farm aspects of it.
Right.
Therefore, we can't use the same service accounts to actually provision it or synchronize some of that information. Is there a way that we can keep that information succinct without breaching those laws? And
well, I guess it's kind of up to you. If there's a different country you could put the farm in.
We have the other country, but it's keeping it all synchronized because our centralized location is in the U.S.
Right.
So
I work with some clients that have an on-soil requirement,
mm-hmm.
and pretty much it needed to be separated, and there were concerns even around using something like OWA to render content that, let's say, it's content's in Canada, it's rendered in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
with all caching characteristics, et cetera, does that violate any sort of on-soil laws?
Right.
Right. So it's different for different clients.
Mm-hmm. And countries.
It depends. It depends. I mean, you may have to just do a completely separate environment if there's a need to sync something. Mm-hmm. So SharePoint doesn't really have syncing out of the box. You could ship content databases.
Right.
You could use third-party tools to do things like manage metadata replication or do a custom solution.
Okay. That's really good information. Yeah. Thank you.
Great. Well, thanks again, everyone.